Well, let's move into God's Word. And this is, I hope, an inspiring title. Looking forward, we quite often conscious in emails how often I use the words I'm looking forward to, whatever it is. Maybe I'm looking forward to seeing you on Sunday, or it might be, you know, I'm looking forward to meeting you again, or I'm looking forward to this event, or whatever it is. But, you know, these are small things. God has very great things indeed for his people to look forward to. And among those are honour and exaltation. Looking forward to honour and exaltation. And in a parable that Jesus told of the guests gathering and how people were taking the best seats, and Jesus was rebuking them for that, he said that those who humble themselves will be exalted, that's the word that's up there. Those that humble themselves will be exalted. They'll be honoured. They'll be moved up higher. So that if one of the goals of our lives is to humble ourselves, quite contrary to what everyone else is doing in the world, everyone else is trying to exalt themselves, if our goal is to humble ourselves, we have a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that we will be exalted. So, the Lord's Supper, which we'll come to in a few minutes, is a time when, we're not going to come forward to a table, but we are, whether that's true or not, we are at the Lord's table, we are taking the Lord's Supper. That is such an honour, to go from a time where you didn't share in the Lord's Supper, you weren't invited to the table by the Lord because you weren't ready to be at the table because you were carrying your own sins and you had nothing to remember because of Jesus, because he'd done nothing for you yet because you rejected him. And now to receive him and for him to exalt you and say, now here, take you. This is my body and this is my blood. That is a great and a wonderful privilege and a great honour for you and for me. And that's just the beginning. God wants to exalt us more and more and higher, as we're hopefully going to see a little of tonight. So, it is an honour. It's an honour to be at the Lord's table. It's an honour to sit at a table in someone's house. It's an honour to be shown hospitality. That's why if we're able to show hospitality, then it's a great thing to do, to invite people and they share at your table. And the honour of that, it's an honour to serve, and it's an honour to be given hospitality. It's an honour to sit at someone else's table, to be invited to share where they normally, as a family, maybe sit, to be given a seat. That's a great privilege. And there are many, many ways that in our world these kind of honours are given. You know, in a wedding, of course, who gets to sit at the top table? These kind of honours are given to those who have special functions, like the best man or the bridesmaids or whatever. And it's an honour. But the honour that Jesus and God have in mind to bestow upon us, it goes far beyond anything that any wedding or any state occasion, anything in this world can confer. And it all comes through humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves in our lives so that we put others first, so that we really mean to Jesus, your will be done. I want to do your will, not mine. Serving others. When we do that, humble ourselves in our lives to give others a better place, to exalt others, to think of others as of more value than ourselves, to be like Jesus. These things have a promise that we will be exalted. But how high? How high does God plan to exalt his people? How high? I mean, the Lord's table is something, you know, you weren't there and then you get to share in it. And if you realise what that's about, it's a great honour. But it's just the beginning. How far does God intend to exalt us? Well, To answer that question, it's really helpful, I think, to think about Jesus' life. And there we go. Words from Hebrews 1. To which of the angels did God ever say? And then there's a quotation from Psalm 110, which we'll sing in a minute. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So God didn't say that to any angels. He said it to Jesus. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now Jesus, you might say, deserves that exaltation. But Jesus is a man. How can a man get to sit at the right hand of God? When Jesus begins to grow as a boy, he begins to have fellowship and communion with God, his Father, begins to learn about his relationship with God, and begins to wake up to what God is revealing to him about who he is, and begins to understand that he, though he's a boy, is also the Son of God, and begins to realize that that means that to him belong all the powers of God. He's faced with a choice. Will he humble himself? Or will he exalt himself? That is the choice that Jesus, like every man and woman, every boy and girl, faces. And Jesus was given not only a revelation of who he was, but how he must live. If he is going to serve the purpose of God, he's got to humble himself. Even though he's the Son of God, he's got to humble himself. And so he does. He humbles himself. Day by day, he humbles himself. He does not use his power. He does not use his all-knowing. He does not use his capabilities. But instead, he completely depends upon the Father's provision, the Father's guidance, the Father's power given by the Holy Spirit to Jesus. And it says in Philippians 2 that because Jesus humbled himself, he was obedient. You know, he emptied himself, he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, the ultimate humiliation of Jesus. God highly exalted him. So he's the very living embodiment of this law in the kingdom of God that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 14. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And Jesus didn't think that's for other people, it's not for me. It was most of all in his mind for him. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to serve others, and I'm going to give my life for others, and then God will exalt me. And that's how we all must learn to live as we follow Jesus. Now, how high did God exalt Jesus? Where did Jesus get exalted to? Well, we read in Hebrews 1, after Jesus had provided purification for sins, he died on the cross. I'll give you this on the screen here. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So once he was at the lowest point of humiliation, God raised him up to the right hand of his majesty. And it says again in another part that we read, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels in this world, along with other human beings, for a little while. But he is now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. So he goes from death and the humiliation of it. And, you know, the cross and all that led up to that was the most horrendous humiliation. The shaming of Jesus I spoke about 3 weeks ago at the cross. And God lifts him up from that and sits him in honour and glory. Crowns him with glory and with honour. And that brings us back to Hebrews 1:13. God said to him, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now this verse, you know, is a great problem for Jesus' people. And it's been a great problem for many people. Because it's from Psalm 110. And it had been around for 1,000 years by the time Jesus came. And the teachers of the law really didn't understand it. And so Jesus questioned them about it. He says, so tell me, it says that, you know, the Messiah is the son of David. That's right, says the teachers of the law. But it also says in Psalm 110 that the Messiah, that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So if he's the son of David, how can he be David's Lord at the same time? There's a puzzle that Jesus presented to them. How can he be David's son and David's Lord? And they couldn't answer. They didn't understand that. And many people didn't understand this, because the problem is, it seems to be making a human being someone who's going to sit at the right hand of God. And none of Jesus' people could handle that idea. The idea that a mere man might be lifted up and be sat at the right hand of God. Perhaps we struggle with that idea too. Remember when Stephen was stoned, he saw, I see heaven open, he says, and I see the Son of Man standing, he says, at the right hand of God. And it says that this, the people that were around him, to whom Stephen was preaching, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. So the idea of a man, Jesus, being exalted from being just like you and me, walking in the dirty lanes of the world, and being exalted up to the right hand of God, was just beyond their comprehension and understanding. How about you? Is that something that you have made an effort to really grasp, get your mind around? Is it a puzzle? You know, Jesus, people didn't understand. How can David say, the Lord, Yahweh, we know who he is, he's God, how can he say to my Lord, sit at my right hand? Who's this my Lord person who's going to get to sit at the right hand of God? And it's been there for 1,000 years by the time Jesus gets to it, and the people that are with him, and they still haven't figured out. Because the only way to figure out is to literally take what it says. Whoever David's Lord is going to be lifted up to the right hand of God. They're not at the right hand of God, but they're going to be lifted to the right hand of God. So a human being is going to be put at the right hand of God. And that is exactly what we know has happened to Jesus Christ. So let's think about that a little more. You know, who is it that's doing this exalting? Who's raising up? Who's raising up Jesus to his right hand? It's not a man. It's not like some great king, some great power figure in the world to say, now you can sit beside me. It's not like Pontius Pilate or Herod or the high priest said, you know, come and share my power. No human being is giving this power to Jesus. It's God who's saying this. And who is God? Well, we sang in Psalm 97, and you know, I said, think about who God is. The picture of God in that psalm is truly awesome. You know, the Lord reigns, and you know, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. This is for the world. He reigns over the world, and the world is a big place. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, and his lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. This is God. This is God. Paul puts it in a slightly different way in 1 Timothy 6:15. In fact, stick this slide up here. He says,
Oh, here we go. We're going to get headings. Brilliant. Oh, these are your headings. This is where we're going. Who's doing the exalting? What is God exalting? Where is God exalting? And here we are. God. Who is doing the exalting? God. The blessed and only ruler. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Who alone is immortal. We sang that a minute ago. And who lives in unapproachable light. Whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honour and might forever. This is the God who is exalting Jesus. This is who says to Jesus, sit at my right hand. Jesus is not being exalted a little. He's not been exalted to an earthly throne. He's not been exalted to sit beside an archangel even. He's been exalted by God to sit beside God, a man. So what is it God is exalting? Well, it's not God himself. It's not God's nature that he's exalting. It's not angelic nature that God's exalting. It's the nature that you and I have. It's human nature that God is exalting to his right hand. Now, Jesus, we know, he could have exalted himself to that position because he was the Son of God. He could have filled his life with his own divine glory and just made the whole world aware of who he was and taken his rightful place. But then he'd be exalting himself. And Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. So instead, he humbled himself and he completely obscured who he was and hid the true nature of his divine glory amidst the squalor of his upbringing and amidst the ordinariness of it and amidst the suffering that he endured. But it was a man who was going through all this. And this man is the man who dies. This man is the man who is raised from the dead. This man is the man who is seen for 40 days. And this man is the man whom the disciples see just at Bethany, just outside Jerusalem, being taken up into a cloud and into heaven. This man is the man, a few days later, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches about and says, this Jesus is exalted to the right hand of the Father, he says. Now that must have boggled Peter's mind. Imagine Peter saying that. You know, just a few days ago, Peter's walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. Jesus is saying to Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. That the man who said that to Peter 10 days ago is the man who has been exalted to the right hand of the Father, who has poured out the Holy Spirit. And how would Peter even begin to get his mind around that transformation and exaltation and honour of the man, Jesus Christ? I walked with him along the beach in Galilee 10 days ago. And the immortal, invisible God, only wise, has exalted him up to his right hand. And it's a man, like I'm a man, says Peter. And you are men and women. Our nature. And God has exalted that. That's what God has exalted. I mean, the divinity of Jesus is always exalted. It's the human nature of Jesus. God has sat the man, Jesus, up at his right hand. And the right hand of God, think about where that is. The right hand of God. I mean, it's a symbol. And you know the symbol of the right hand was thought of as the arm of power, the arm that holds the sword, the place of power. So it was transferred from being the right hand to being the person at your right hand is the person who is my sword, the person who has my authority, the person who exerts my power. And that's where Jesus has been sat, where the power of God is exerted. So no longer humble. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. He's exalted. And he's no longer just depending on the exertion of God's power through his ministry, depending on the Holy Spirit to heal the blind or raise the dead or feed the 5,000. He is now in the place of God's power. A man. It's a man who's there exerting the power of God. He is God and he is man. And he is in that place. He is exalted, who was so shortly before humbled. Revelation symbolizes it as best it can. He is the Lamb in the midst of the throne, looking like he'd been slain. So you're reminded as you look in the symbolic vision of Revelation that he was humbled. He was slain. But he's been exalted because he's in the midst of the throne. Wow, this is a man at the right hand of God in the place of power. Now, this tells us something about God. You know, why would God do that? Well, I don't know why God would do that, except to say that it's his purpose and it's a reflection of his character. It tells us about God's character. This is the way God works. If you humble yourself, he'll exalt you. If you humble yourself, as Jesus did, he's exalted to the right hand of God. If you humble yourself following Jesus, what happens? What happens if you humble yourself? Why is it that God exalts a man? Why doesn't God exalt an archangel? Why doesn't he say to Michael or to Gabriel, sit at my right hand? But he doesn't do that. He exalts a man. It tells us something. It tells us that God is willing to do that. I don't know if you can ever speak of God in any sense humbling himself, but it seems in a sense that for God to take a man and put him up beside him at his right hand is an incredible act of divine humility. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's an act of divine stooping and condescension to take a man and put him at his right hand. And God does that. This is telling us about God, that he's not got a difficulty with doing that. He's not got a difficulty with exalting people who humble themselves. He wants to exalt people who humble themselves. He wants to exalt people who one day hear the claims of Jesus on their lives and see how far they are from the Lord and repent of their sins and come to Jesus and ask for his mercy. They humble themselves before Jesus. God loves to take people who humble themselves and exalt them, and that person is then immediately to be baptized. This happens on the day of Pentecost, to be given access to the Lord's table. God loves to exalt people to sit with Jesus at the Lord's table. So, are we beginning to see in what's happened to Jesus something of a clue to what might happen to us through the gospel, through what Jesus has done for us? Well, I'm not even using the clicker very well today tonight, am I? Here we go. Hebrews 2. Now, this is, when you put our thinking caps on a wee bit here, I need to put mine on so I get this right. Okay. What we're going to see here is that Christ's exaltation, which has happened, secures the exaltation of his people. That we will be exalted in the world to come. So, I guess we probably think that heaven belongs to the angels and the world to come belongs to the angels. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't belong to the angels. As we read in Hebrews 1, Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit the salvation? They're sent to humble themselves to serve us so that we can inherit whatever God has for us in salvation. The angels don't get salvation. If they fall, they stay fallen. And the ones that aren't fallen are working to serve us for our salvation, that having been humbled, we will be exalted above them. It's a mystery. So, verse 5, it is not to angels that God has subjected the world to come. You know, heaven and the new creation are not subjected to angels. Are they not? Did we not think that they were? Oh, no, they're not. That's not what it says. The world to come. There's a place where someone has testified, and you recognize this is Psalm 8. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. Okay, so at this present time, in this world, we're made a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. So whose feet is the world to come going to end up under? The creation of God is going to end up under whose feet? Is it going to end up under angels' feet? No, it's not. It's going to end up subjected to people. That's what it says. Mankind, that is. You crown him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. But the world to come hasn't come, has it? So we don't yet see this. It hasn't actually happened yet. In putting everything under man, God left nothing that's not subject to him. So what that's saying is, no, it is God's purpose. As Psalm 8 says, that although man was made a little lower than angels, he's going to be crowned with glory and honour, and everything is going to be under man's feet. But we don't see this yet. But it's everything. You know, nothing is not going to be subject to man. The angels will be subject to man. The entirety of creation will be subject to man. That's what Hebrews is saying. That's what Psalm 8 is saying. But it's also saying it hasn't happened yet. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to Jesus. It hasn't happened yet. Well, we know that. We don't exactly look like people who are ruling the universe, do we? No, we're not. Hasn't happened yet. We don't see everything yet subjected to mankind. But we do see something. We see the beginning of it. We see Jesus, a man, who was made a little lower than the angels. There's a word or two maybe missing. Let me just make sure I get this to 8. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus humbled himself. He was made a little lower than the angels, and he humbled himself still further. He humbled himself unto death, so that he might taste death for everyone. He might benefit everyone through his death, might bring salvation to his people. And he is the one we do see crowned with glory and honour. So it hasn't happened to everyone yet, but it has happened to Jesus. But do you see what it's saying here is, if it's happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to everyone who humbles himself or herself before God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up. Is that Peter or is it James? I can't remember. That he may lift you up. That is the promise of God. And it hasn't happened yet. But it has happened to Jesus. He's already in the place of exaltation. He's already in the place of putting everything in subjection to him. But it's not just Jesus who's going to share that exaltation. Because it says there, at present we don't see everything subject to him. And the word there, him, refers back to what is man, mankind. We don't see everything subjected to mankind. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, missing words there, now crowned with glory and honour. We see him in the right hand of God. We see him in the exalted place. But we don't see anyone else yet. We're not there. We're still here. So when God thinks about exalting us as Christians, he's not just, well, it's a great thing, not just thinking of exalting us to the Lord's table. So just thinking of taking us to heaven or of taking us into the new creation. He's thinking of exalting us so that everything in the world to come, everything in the new creation, is subjected to not just Jesus, but man. Jesus, the head of man, but all of man. All those who have humbled themselves will be exalted with Jesus. This is what it's all heading towards. It's truly amazing and it's truly wonderful. So this is exciting. You know, you take the bread and wine tonight and think, what a privilege this is that Jesus wants me with him at his table. He wants to show me hospitality. Well, remember, he's doing that from off the throne of God, at the right hand of God, from the place of God's power. And what we're seeing here is, it's just a little foretaste that he's going to take us and exalt us with him. And it's so sure that this is going to happen that God already has it already happened in his mind. It's already there in his mind. It's not in our mind yet, but it's already in God's mind. So if we look at Ephesians, here we go. Ephesians 1. So the mighty strength of God, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Right? So this mighty power that seated Jesus at the heavenly realms and seated him above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church. And in God's mind, Jesus is head over everything for the church. So that's where we're at just now. He's head over everything for the church. You see, that doesn't say that the church is exalted with Jesus. But then you read on a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace we've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. God seated us with him. And Paul doesn't say he's going to, he said he's done it. Christians, you're seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. In Christ Jesus, you're at the right hand of God. That's just what it's saying. I don't know how Paul dared to write it. It's so audacious, it's so awesome, except that the God of heaven revealed it to Paul. This is the way it is, and revealed it to whoever wrote Hebrews as well. This is the way it is. And in God's mind, it's already as good as happened. In God's mind, it has happened already, because in God's mind, just to get Jesus at his right hand is to get the church at his right hand too. It's to get all his people. Man, now crowned with glory and honour. So that honour and that glory is already yours, Christian. We're already there. Physically, yeah, we may be still humbling ourselves. But in God's mind,
Everything is going to serve our salvation. The angels are going to serve it.
Christ at the right hand of God is going to exert his divine power to serve, getting us from humiliation, getting us from suffering, getting us from fighting against temptation, getting beat up and defeated, getting humiliated, getting persecuted, getting ostracized, humbled, and while everyone else just going with the flow and lusting after whatever they want to lust after. We're seeking to walk with Jesus so purely and holy. And it's humbling and it's hard. And we keep coming to Jesus and say, Lord, I failed again. Have mercy on me. Humbling, humbling, humbling. But in God's mind, it's all already gone through. You know, from where we are right now, in God's mind, he's already got us at the right hand with Jesus. The angels will serve it. Jesus will make it happen. And we will be exalted to the right hand of the Father. We will be in the place of power. All things will be put under us. This is what Hebrews 2, if you're saying, Ronnie, wait a minute, it sounds heretical. We'll get reading Hebrews 2. Think about it. What it's saying. We don't see it yet, says Hebrews 2. We don't see all things subject to man, but we do see Jesus now crowned with glory and honor. Well, it's coming that will see us too. And in God's mind, it's already there. We are seated with Jesus. That's how greatly and how gloriously God is going to exalt us. If you'd like me to put it this way, we're on the heavenly elevator. I don't feel like that just now because it's starting at a low place. But God is raising us up. He's raising us up with Christ. He's raising up us up to share the glory and honour of the man, Christ Jesus, and that we with Jesus will rule over the world to come. It is not to angels he has subjected the world to come, of which we speak, he who said, but there is a place where someone is written, what is man, that you're mindful of him. Now think about that. In terms of what we're thinking about now, you know, it's not just about sitting at the stars, under a star, and saying, what is man? I'm pretty small. It's not just that. Hebrews say it's like looking at the throne of God and seeing Jesus sat there and saying, I'm there. Why should I be there? What am I? Well, Jesus said, if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. We need to accept this. It's all part of us inheriting. It's all part of us gaining a proper understanding of who we are as Christians. That we must grasp this for ourselves and not allow us, we're saying this morning in another context, not allow us to be browbeaten by the world, to be put down, to be humiliated, to be ashamed by the world that's telling us none of this is true, you're just rubbish, and you'll come to nothing. Well, we're actually seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we need to live like that already in the world. We're humbling ourselves because we know that our exaltation is guaranteed in Jesus Christ. So when we now in a minute take our seat at the table, as it were, think about how honored and exalted Jesus has said to us, move up higher. You know, you humbled yourself before me with your sins and you received my salvation. Move up higher. Come and sit at my table. I think that Jesus intends to move you a lot higher still to seat you with him in the heavenly places. That's what it says.